Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 62 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. Hey, Sean.
Hello, Edward. How are you? Are you good?
I'm very well, yeah. How's Trix?
I'm very, very well.
We're talking about time this week, aren't we?
Yeah. Do we have plenty of time to do it?
We have a limited amount of time, so our speech may... It's going to be a shorter episode, but we'll be speaking twice as fast.
Yeah.
So put us on half speed if you
want. Tell me about you. Time, you've just been away, haven't you?
I've had a good time. Yeah, I've done my cycling adventure. My biannual adventure is complete.
So how far did you go?
We did about 180 miles in 4 days, which...
It's good.
I mean, you could do 180 miles in a day.
But you were doing all the uphills, though, weren't you?
This was off-road, so yeah, yeah. It was hard going. Day one, we did 60 miles, and I'd never actually cycled more than 30 miles a day in my life.
Right.
I figured out. Day one was, pow, straight into it. But, man, Scotland, what a place.
Yeah.
The Highlands. Part of the reason I did it was just I wanted to go to the Highlands.
Did you wear a kilt while you were doing?
No, I didn't see any kilts.
Didn't you?
I did see a piper playing some pipes
one night
in Braemar. So I learned lots of new place names. So anyone that's been that part of the world or you haven't, make a note. Places like Glencoe, Braemar, Fort William, King Ussie, King Craig. You know, heard of these places?
No, I've never heard of those.
Little places we stopped in at.
Yeah.
And we kind of ended up near Brechin, that kind of way.
But yeah. What? So how are your legs?
Legs are fine, actually. It was a bit frustrating. My legs were brilliant. My Achilles really started giving me some jip on the fourth day.
Yeah, right.
And my backside gave out as well.
So did you have padded pants on?
I did, yeah. But not enough padding, not even close. Cause it was pretty rugged.
You're too thin, that's what it is.
I know, I need to put some weight on. I did lose a bit of weight, can you believe it?
Yeah, I can believe it.
And my legs were great. So but the weather was kind to us, which was a bonus. So we just... And there were hardly any midges about as well, which... So we just, and we were in the wilderness on our own for day, like pretty much the whole day each day.
Yeah.
So Glenfeshy and all these amazing valleys. And
so were you bitten? You were worried about being bitten?
I think I did have a couple of bites. We were generally moving just that little bit too fast, thankfully.
flashing past the midges.
Yeah. And there was a bit of a breeze about, so we got lucky, so it's perfect. And we've raised nearly £600.
That's amazing.
Of the blind.
Brilliant.
By the time this is out, I will have done a full write-up and there's loads of photos I've taken. I'll put a link in the post so you can have a read about what I've done. And
have you got a Just Giving page?
Of course, I do.
So anyone listening, if you want to chuck some money in the hat for Ed, that's good.
Yes, indeed. There's links in all that. So it's cool, man.
Yeah.
Good adventure. So yeah,
it's good.
Plotting my next one already. But
yeah, whilst you were out having a good time, I've been stuck in the attic, converting the attic into the studio that we have to move into in about 8 weeks' time, don't we?
Yeah, my wife's 31 weeks pregnant now. So
yeah, so we're getting close on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but that did really well. Robert helped me for a couple of days, which was great. Nice working with your son.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was good. So I'm about halfway through it, I think, that. But we did a good hit. It's great.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till it's all complete before
it's going to be. There's going to be a grand opening. There's going to be ribbons and bottles of champagne and kind of stuff.
Is the Queen, you're going to get a plaque on the wall from the Queen and all that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. opened by Her Royal Highness. Yeah.
We have had a review.
Woo.
As the review alludes to, we do keep badgering on about these, but so we do. But we appreciate people taking the time. Another 5 stars from a UK listener, Codigan. I never write reviews, but I will in this case because the show is great and you keep demanding reviews. Yes, we do. If anyone could repeat this, it would be awesome. But it says, I found it by Sean's books, and if only I could follow the advice given, I'd be a pretty well-rounded human being. I'm still on episode 25 and in the early chapters of your book. So you've got so much good stuff to come. You've got like 40 episodes to get through. Beautiful. But actually, by the time they actually listen to this, they might, well... Could be a few weeks, months down the line, depending on how quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I think the thing that's important about that, and it's good to get that kind of feedback, is that when you're trying to get through that process of being able to live in the present, it isn't like you just press a button and ta-da, you're there. It's something that you have to work at. You have to, because it's when you've been living for maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever, where you've been living in the past or worrying about the future rather than actually enjoying where you are, it takes a bit of time to turn it around. And it's easy to kind of beat yourself up and think that, you know, ought, should and must. I should be there. I ought to be doing this. And like, no, you shouldn't. It's like everyone's in a process and we're all on the same journey.
Yep.
Just at different places on the path.
Sure.
Yeah. But if we all keep going, we all get there. And the trick is we all help each other on the way. That's the thing.
The fun is in the journey. I mean, yeah, I mean, we're kind of going into this week's show already, but my recent adventure, you know, it wasn't the actual finish line, woo, we've done it, that was the enjoyable part. It was the whole trip, you know, enjoying the scenery and just having a chat with you and as I was plodding along on my bike.
I get that sometimes when I'm running. I'm doing a set distance because I'm part of the training program because I'm working towards doing a half marathon and I've booked in for a metric marathon in October, which is 26 kilometres.
Okay.
Which is, that's an interesting thing.
Which is what, about 20 miles?
It's 16.
16 miles, okay.
Yeah, day of 16.2, something.
Yep.
But I'm at that point where I was running yesterday morning and when I got to the end of the run, I'd done something like 8-9 kilometres and I got to the end of the run and I was, I could have just carried on going.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We've kind of gone into the show without really introducing it, but just a quick heads up, we do have a blog post which fleshes out some of the things that we're discussing now for those that like to read. But yeah, time, Sean, are you a time lord?
I think that I am in lots of ways. I mean, in the blog, I was talking about becoming a time lord in the sense of feeling like you're in control of your life and in control of time, as opposed to feeling like time is in control of you, so you're having rushing around, can't get everything done, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm in that phase at the moment, actually, because I'm heading off on a couple of weeks away, just in the UK, to kick back, and it's like trying to get everything done before that, so time is my master at the moment, actually.
Yeah. And it's such a lovely feeling when you feel like you are in control of it. Mm. When you've got this kind of endless list of things that you haven't done, that you feel the pressure on, that's when it's difficult.
I've seen your diary, man. You're booked up solid, non-stop every day.
Yeah, but that isn't a time issue. That's me controlling the time.
Managing the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I do quite a lot in a week. But I try and maximise the time that I have. Because if you think about it, every morning it's like you get this check. You're given a check of time that lasts you through until you go to bed. And the issue for me in the work that we do is, what do you do with it? What do you do with this check of time?
What are you going to do with those 86,000 seconds or something, is it? Or...
Well, what we've got is 24 hours is 1,440 minutes. I haven't done the seconds on that, but that's a lot, isn't it?
Someone did mention it recently, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at it, in an average lifetime, you're at over 45 million minutes.
Yeah.
And how many of those are productive, useful? And by productive, I don't necessarily mean that you're making something. A productive minute may be a minute where you're sat down and you're very calm and relaxed, but you're just living in your moment. Mm-hmm. How many of those minutes are going to be people worrying about what has happened and being depressed, or worrying about what will happen and being anxious?
Well, one of the things from my side which interests me is time wasting. No one likes to waste time, but are we all wasting time anyway all the time? Is it even possible to waste time?
I think that the whole issue about what is time, because time in many ways is an illusion that we all perceive differently.
An astrophysicist on to tell us all about the fourth dimension and all that large.
Yeah, and the whole kind of quantum issues about does time actually exist? Maybe that all that we actually have is a series of presents, moments. You know, when you look back to your childhood, sometimes when you look back, it's as though the memories of childhood are like a book that you read once or a film that you saw once, rather than something that you were actually involved in, because they're no longer in your time frame. Mm-hmm. If someone has post-traumatic stress disorder, they can go back to something which happened maybe, you know, a few months or a few years or like 40 years ago. And when they relive it, it's like it's happening now. It's in their current time. Yeah, and that's when people get stuck in the past.
Yep.
And sometimes when people are bitter and angry and all that kind of stuff and they hate people and you get all the negativity, it's because they're stuck in the past.
Sure.
As opposed to seeing the past as what it as something that was, as not is, and so that it isn't affecting me in my present now.
That's the basis of all the work you do, right? With people that come and all see you and companies and all that lark.
Yeah, live in the moment, be here now. And it's never what has happened. It's about what are we going to do now?
Yep.
What are we going to do now to make it different? And loads of people will say to me that the past is responsible for the present. No, it's not. It's our attachment to the past in the present that is responsible.
A bit of elastic, eh?
Yeah, and it's a case of snapping the elastic so that we bring our time world up to date. Because right now, right this moment, you and I, we're safe, we're secure, there are no problems. Yeah, and that's true for probably everybody listening to this. Unless someone is being murdered or something whilst this is going on. Yeah,
let's hope not. Yeah.
But it's right at this moment, for most people, the vast majority of people, there are no issues other than we manufacture them. Yeah, and what we're doing is we're playing with time to do that. We're playing with the past into the present or the future into the present rather than being a time lord and being in the time, being in our time in the moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the thing, deal with time, man, in the way that it can speed up and slow down? We've alluded to it as a child already, but when you're younger, time lasts
forever. Yeah, it lasts forever, doesn't it? Yeah, summer holidays go and on, yeah. Which is amazing. They were always red hot. I don't know where that was.
I know, hose pipes and stuff and sprinklers. And
What I think it is I think that the experience of time, in that sense of being little, is that there's so much to learn and so much to do that each day is full of so much stuff that it seems massive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you get older and you get into the routines of going to work, having kids and whatever... because the day becomes routine.
What a drag.
It goes by quickly. It gets quicker, it speeds up. Yeah. People may get bored. We'll have a look at that in a moment. But it's like when you're in the middle years of life, things speed up. You know, suddenly it's New Year. Whoops, it's Christmas Eve. Whoa, it's New Year, it's Christmas Eve. It goes round faster and faster and faster. And people will always say to me, the older I get, the faster it goes.
Yep.
Until they hit a break point, and that break point could be at 60 or 70 or 80 or whatever it is, when suddenly time begins to drag again. And people feel kind of lonely and isolated in these huge spaces of time.
Right.
And that's when they're revisiting childhood. We often see older people start to talk about childhood. They start to go right back to the beginning.
And about the war and all that, and in my day.
Yeah, right back to the first stuff. Yeah. And what's happening is that the time's lengthening out again, the experience of time. But whereas when you're a kid, you're learning loads of stuff, so it fills this space, which seems enormous. When you're older and you're isolated and you cease to do things, you have this massive space that you do nothing in. And you bounce around like a pea in a tin, feeling on your own.
So this thing about lifelong learning that we keep bashing on about, there's something in that, eh?
Yeah, it, as long as you keep filling your day with new and exciting things, it doesn't matter what age you are. Yeah, it doesn't matter what your age of ability is. Yeah, whatever range of things you can do. If you're filling your day with challenges and learning new things, the time will be whipping along. And you'll be enjoying it, yeah? And that's the point, really.
Live fast, die young, eh?
Yeah. Live slow, die old. And boring, I don't know. But I think that whole issue about our experience of time is relative. I mean, one of the things that we were talking about earlier on, before we went on air, is the experience of when you're going somewhere, it seemed to take ages to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if we're driving down to Italy, although it's 2 days down and 2 days back, going down seems to take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back always seems so fast.
Yeah, I had an experience of that just last week when I was in Scotland and we had to... the B&B we stayed at didn't do evening meals, so we had to cycle to a restaurant, which was about a mile and a half downhill, literally, towards a loch that was nearby. And yeah, we cycled down in the sun, and the guy had said, "Oh, it's only a mile and a half away." And for some reason, the way there, we were like, halfway there, we were like, "This is further than he said."
It was a Scottish mile.
And we're just freewheeling down the hill, and it was about a mile and a half. It took us 3 or 4 minutes. Don't quote me on that because it means I'm doing 60 miles an hour. But the way back uphill, Yeah, we both said when we got back, weirdly, without prompting or even thinking about any of this stuff, that seemed a lot faster.
Yeah.
And we would cycle uphill, so it was probably twice as much effort, but it seemed like much faster.
But that experience of time is internalised. It's an illusion. So say you and I went to do something, like we went to a play or see a film, and one of us was really into it, the time would fly by, having an amazing time. And if the other person's really bored and God didn't want to see this, like everything drags.
Yep.
So both people have been in exactly the same amount of physical time, but that emotional experience of time is completely different.
But the catch is here that if you're enjoying yourself and time's whizzing by, but the famous quotes, I don't know who he says, but there's more to life than increasing its speed. So the balance is, we want to do things that make us happy, but we don't want life to whiz by at breakneck pace, do we? So
But the thing is that when time does fly when you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's whereas it drags when you're feeling really, really bored.
Would the ideal thing, because I want to live a long time and I want seconds to slow down, but I want to have a really great time. So is there a way, I'm putting you on the spot here, to have fun and slow time down?
Yeah, there is. There is. But it involves something very strange.
How much does it cost? Can we sell it?
How much are you going to pay me? have you ever had an accident, like a car accident?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that experience where once the accident begins to happen, the world appears to slow down or happens in slow motion?
Yeah.
It's a really weird. So your experience of time is completely changed.
I mean, the thing I'm thinking about, I was behind an accident and I could see the lady kind of like getting thrown about in a car in front of me. Right. And I was first on scene and all that and saw it all happen. But yeah, I remember.
One of the weird things is that if you're going into an accident, you put your foot on the brake, suddenly the whole world... In fact, I have a perfect experience with this. When I was a kid on a motorbike, I was coming around a corner in Devon on a bend, and there was a post office van that was pulling out of someone's drive, bit of a country road. I was going much too fast. You know? And the guy pulled out across me, and he... he saw I was there and accelerated fast round, and I hit the curb and I took off and I actually flew through the air and landed again. Bit of an Evel Knievel flight.
Beautiful.
But I had time because the world had slowed right down and I was flying slowly through the air. I had time as I passed his window to raise two fingers to him. So I went past.
Then
I landed on the ground. I wobbled up the road. Off I went. But time had slowed down at that point.
Yeah.
And what happens is, it's not that time slows down. What happens is my awareness is speeded up. That's the experience, that my consciousness is going so fast that I'm aware of time in a completely different way.
Yeah.
It's a bit like if you're trying to swat a fly. A fly lives in a different time world to us. It's much faster.
Oh, have you ever seen a fly in slow motion moving?
It's amazing speed. The movements that are going
beautiful,
on.
Beautiful, actually.
Yeah, and it's because they're living in a different time frame.
Yep.
Yeah, now, if you want to experience time differently and you want to get more out of each moment, you have to speed up your consciousness. You have to speed up your awareness. And that means being in the moment. If you are precisely in the moment, so you are aware of every nuance of everything that's going on.
All right. My mind has been blown. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the trick. That's how to do it. And the way to that, that I know, is through the meditation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's when the experience of time changes. And then there's always enough time to do what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
One of the things about when you're living at that level of awareness is you're so much more efficient because you're aware of the detail of what's going on. And that's how you can fit loads of stuff in.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of people at the top of the profession that you just wonder how they get all this stuff done, whether it be in, you know, amount of work in an hour or a day, or my world, watching Formula One drivers racing at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Whilst changing a million settings on the steering wheel, because now they can change all differential, brake balance, engine settings between corners. It's like, what? How are they doing that? That's incredible.
Yeah.
Split second, they're just like, back on it.
Yeah. But if you're at that level of awareness, then you're from outside, you're seeing this thing moving amazingly fast. Whereas when you're inside it and you've got that level of awareness, you're actually not moving that fast. You've got time to do things.
Yeah,
we went to Legoland at the weekend. Took a load of the kids down. Good fun down there. And when we were coming back up on the Sunday, we came through London and some of the kids wanted to see bits of London. So we drove around there. But as we were coming past the airport, the planes were coming in every 2 minutes on the flight path to land. And the planes appear from the outside to move so slowly in the sky. It's like they must be hanging on sky hooks or something, because they're just moving very, very slowly.
Yeah.
And yet when you're in the plane, the sensation of speed as you come into land is like, poof, you're on the ground.
And then whack, depending on how the pilots brought it in. Yeah.
So that's the whole thing about the relativity of time, is where do you view it from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it may appear, if you look at my diary, that I'm busy, but from my point of view, maybe I'm not. Yeah, and maybe the ability to do a lot of things or see a lot of people is to do with if you're living in the moment with those people, so you're actually with the person that you're with, you're not letting your consciousness slide other places,
mm-hmm.
then you could be more effective with more people.
Gotcha.
Yeah?
Yep.
And that's true for what you do. So if you're in your time zone and you're focused on your creativity, then and you're not drifting off either side, then your efficiency and your productivity must go up.
It does, yeah, and I've got about less than 48. I've got 36 hours before I put my autoresponder on, and I'll be doing a little bit when I'm away, but not much. But I've got 3 websites to build before I go away.
Yeah,
first draft of all 3.
Yeah,
I'll get it done. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know I will.
Yeah, it's because you're a time lord.
Yeah. I am a time lord.
Forget Doctor Who.
I'm not into Doctor Who, but yeah, I like that phrase.
You're a time.
I'm more of a Sherlock.
I like this quote. This comes from Douglas Adams, who did The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I can't remember. I think it must actually be a quotation from The Hitchhiker's Guide itself. But it was this. It was, time is an illusion designed to explain the passage of history. And history is an illusion to explain the passage of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that idea that when we look at ourselves, we do see ourselves in terms of past, present, and future. We see the world in terms of past, present, and future.
Yep.
And yet all there is, because by the time I get to the end of this sentence, the beginning of the sentence is the past.
Holy moly. Yep. Yeah.
By the time I get to this breath, the last breath is the past. By the time I get to this heartbeat, the last heartbeat is the past. It's like, how defined am I going to become? And in that level of being highly aware and highly awake, then I can be aware of each heartbeat.
I'm getting closer to taking the leap with meditation. I know I keep saying, well, I haven't said it in a while, actually. But what do you know about transcendental meditation? I know that's a
TM.
TM, yeah, yeah.
Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. A guy came over with the Beatles back in the 60s. And he started the TM, which is based around mantric meditations. They're using sound.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. And the TM unit in Arizona, it's a big unit there, they do a lot of research, and a lot of research is quite interesting. And the bits that I like particularly are about brain scans. And if you take, the classic is, you take someone's brain scan, and then you get them to meditate 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. And the key interval seems to be 2 years. If you're going to do that persistently and consistently, and then you do the brain scan 2 years later, the internal brain has changed phenomenally. The tissue has become much denser all around the emotional and the concentration areas.
Yep.
So it's a bit like you've exercised a muscle using a dumbbell, using a mental dumbbell, and you've actually expanded your brain. You've created more brain cells.
Okay.
And that idea that you get new brain cells through new learning, and one of the things that appears to be the case is that when you do things like mindful meditation, you're perpetuating a state of new learning, and you're refreshing your brain all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea that you should take out either 20 minutes morning, evening, or an hour in a day, or whatever, to meditate, the evidence for that is growing, you know, all the time.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're obviously aware of that. And I know we've got our little free evening meditation files that you can get via our website.
Well, once the studio is finished upstairs, then the big productions will begin. And there will be a lot more.
You're not going to know what's hit you. You have so much.
Ooh, look out, universe.
Yeah, no, I've been watching. I mean, I watch Jerry Seinfeld stuff pretty much weekly, you know, but he's big into TM. And I saw him give a talk with David Lynch. He's got the David Lynch Foundation, film director, and he's been pushing that for years and years, it turns out. And there's a bit of a celebrity status behind TM, it would appear, in California and that.
Yeah.
But
TM is a form of meditation. There are lots of different forms, but you're talking about a process, and the process of whichever vehicle you use, the technique, it's relaxation, it's contemplation, concentration, meditation. It's a process, and it may be that you sit for an hour and you only get as far as relaxation. That's okay. You may get as far as contemplation or concentration. If you actually hit the meditation point, is when you're in that state where you cease to exist, which is that thing for me about I can sit down, put the gong on for an hour's meditation, and it just appears like from in my consciousness that it's only like a couple of minutes, and the gong's gone and I've finished. Where's the hour gone?
Yep.
And it's because you've stepped out of time and space. And the only other time you do that is when you read a book, time elapses, because you're totally focused, you're concentrated. Or the other classic, which always makes me laugh, is when you've got a kid, you'll get this with Will, where he may be watching telly, jaw goes slack, and he's in a trance watching the television, and you're saying, tea's ready, and no response, no response. And you wave your hand in front of the face, it's like, what?
Yep.
Because they're actually focused, they are so concentrated on what they're doing that they're not aware of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the place. When you start to develop this focus, it starts off with being focused on one point. But when you're truly mindful, you can be aware of all the things around you.
Yep.
A bit of a 360 degree. But it takes time to develop.
The opposite of that is when people are bored and you've got nothing to do and time's just dragging like anything. And you'll see the odd status on Facebook or I will, I'm bored. It's like, oh my word, how can you be? And from my point of view, all right, easy for Ed to say, it's all loves life and all that luck, but yeah, I can't believe how anyone can be bored.
Well, I have to give a quote to my dear father, God bless him,
good old over here, Dad.
Yeah, which is something that I would own. Yeah, I can remember as a child, if I said out loud, "Oh, I'm really bored," he would turn around and say to me, "That's because you're boring."
Yeah,
and
he's got something there, though.
Yeah, yeah, right. I think that is on the money. It's like, if you're bored, it's because you're not engaged in life. If you're bored, you're not doing the things that you should be doing, because boredom is a negative state which comes out of either inactivity or doing something that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, I mean, on the reverse side, and I'm guilty of this, I think there's too much filling my time occasionally. I mean, I'm one of those, I'm not too bad, but one of those people where, you know, in any downtime, I reach for the phone and I've got YouTube videos saved to my watch later. I've got readability articles where I've bookmarked stuff that I can read when I've got downtime. Flipboard, Twitter and Facebook. So I've kind of almost eradicated free time from my life, which there are downsides to that in terms of not being comfortable just sitting still.
But the thing is that you can be still and be doing apparently nothing and not be bored. That's not bored time.
It's very rare that you can get mobile internet everywhere now. So I'll find out on holiday, because we're going to kind of a Wi-Fi-less part of the world and know where you can't get Facebook and Twitter.
Did you remember the other day, a few sessions ago, we were talking about something and you were saying about turning your phone off at the end of work day,
mm-hmm.
and not actually putting it on again until the beginning of work day.
Yep.
And I do try and do that, and people do get a bit shirty when they say, "Don't you answer your phone?" And there are times, I think I explained last time, where I have two phones that I use. So that there's the phone that if it rings, I have to respond. But generally, it's like, no, I'm not available. I'm not available now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, to me, is creating a levels of sanity. But it gives me the ability to just be. You know, if I did want to just sit in the garden in the sun, you know, under the sunshade, and just be for half an hour. I want to be there. I don't want other things interfering in that that beingness.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Time.
Time, yeah, time. There's a into my stand-up comics, as you can tell. It's not a Jerry Seinfeld one, but there's a 10-minute stand-up routine by a guy called George Carlin, who's a... You'll either know him as a stand-up comic from kind of 70s, 80s, 90s America, or you'll know him from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, if you're into movies. But brilliant comedian, and there's a whole piece on time he did, which is superbly funny, but philosophical as well, and just gets you thinking. And he's at the peak of his powers. It's on YouTube. I'll put the link on. But yeah, if you go on YouTube and type George Carlin Time and watch that, you'll laugh your head off, and it'll get you thinking too.
You showed me about that clip, didn't you, where he's saying someone asks you, have you got the time?
Do you have the time? Yeah.
I'm in control of time. Right? Yeah, yeah. How much do you want?
Yeah. Yeah, flipping it. Stand-up comics are interesting, actually, in terms of time. It's always interesting when you see a comic get heckled from the audience and how quickly they little time they can take to turn it around and throw it back and make a fool out of the person.
And the whole thing about delivering on stage is timing.
Timing, yeah.
Getting it right.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
What an art form. Yeah, respect to anyone that gets up and does that stuff.
Or if you get into other concepts of time, things like playing in time, or even like dancing in time to the music.
Uh-huh.
You know, some people are out of time, aren't they? Or are you in time with fashion? So
time. We're running out of time soon. But I've seen that recently, a timeline for the universe. And I was going to say that we never really run out of time. We're running out of time on this show. But there's no end. Time isn't endless. But it is actually, because even on a long timeline for the universe, according to latest theories, eventually time will collapse in on itself and the universe will kind of fizzle out of energy.
To exist.
Yeah, all the energy and all the stars will run out of hydrogen and all that lark. And
but if you go to the Ayurvedic philosophers, all they'd say is that's just God or Brahman breathing in, and what happens at that point is he breathes out again. So then you get
makes another one,
another big bang, and off we go again.
Parallel universes and all that stuff.
Yeah, who knows? You know, we'll only know when we get there.
How could anyone be bored when there's mad theories like that floating around? Eh, gee whiz. Anything else you'd like to mention, Sean?
No, I'm good. I'm out of time.
I'm out of time as well. What's your resource of the week, though?
It's a Buddhist site, tinybuddha.com, and it's 40 ways to use your time wisely. And it's really interesting the way that it's done, because it makes you look at what you do with your time. And it makes you question things like, why are you committed to certain commitments? Should you actually stop a commitment? You know, there's all kinds of looking at the way that you use your time. And maybe we don't use it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that my thing would be, if you've got 1,440 seconds to use today, how are you going to do it? Where are you going to invest it? Invest it wisely.
I was quite happy to see it wasn't another WikiHow link, because you'd get a bit reliant
WikiHow. No, I like WikiHow. I would. I think it's a good resource.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I'll put that up in the show notes. Short mention for the 4-hour work week, which I've mentioned before, but if you wanted to get in control of your time business-wise, that's a great place, book to start. I've mentioned the George Carlin thing. And in terms of boredom and lifelong learning, check out a website called Creative Live, which is kind of it's an online learning platform. Interesting pricing model. They do television standard broadcast quality online learning videos, like live, and the cool thing is when they are broadcast live, which is always two or three running at once when you go on the website, tend to be on, well, they're all sorts of photography, design, marketing, meditation, all sorts. When they go live, they're free to watch, so you go on the website now, dive in, watch this cool stuff for free, and then if you see something you like in the archives, you have to pay for it, and then you can access it whenever you want. But follow them on Twitter and all that stuff, keep it bookmarked, because there's always some interesting stuff going on.
Yeah.
No charge, if you play your cards right.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Invest a bit of time in your mind, hey? What are we talking about next week? I've just got mouth written down.
Yeah, we're talking about mouths. Talking about what is it that comes out of your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
And are you aware of what comes out of your mouth?
Okay. Yeah. In terms of some people are a bit kind of more forthright with their views and don't hold back.
No, I think that most people will believe that they are tickety-boom, pretty good, pretty cool, because they're not actually listening to what they're saying. But all you've got to do is stand in a bus queue and listen to people talking to just hear the negative repetition that comes out of people's mouths.
Okay, I can tell you've got some interesting stuff. Something's happened here. But I'll try and get it out of you. I listen to myself back every week editing this blooming show, so that's quite interesting.
You got used to your own voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's like someone else's voice in there.
It's weird at first, but yeah, well into it now. I sound wonderful. you obviously don't.
I thought so.
go to the website liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links to things we've just discussed. Free bits and bobs if you put your email address in the box too. And as one listener has done last week, or in the last week, leave us a review on iTunes. It bumps us up the rankings. We love the little bit of feedback we get. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about in future shows, just drop us an email via the contact form on the website and we'll put it in the list.
We'll be there, yeah. That's
cool. We'll hop on it. And that is it. Sean, have a good week.
Thank you, and you. And if you're going to be away after this weekend, have a wild time, maybe.
Thank you very much, yeah. Take care.
See ya.
Ciao. Bye. See you later. Bye.